Okay, we are on footnote number three. Mm-hmm. And footnote number three is, if it goes, the last line in the actual text. And what again, and how again is that from, and what again, can you tell me more about what from is like? Nirmalam equals shuddham. Nirmalam means free from impurity, shuddham means that which is pure. And so they have a footnote for that. And the footnote, number three, is maya tatkarya. So say, maya tatkarya.
Maya tatkarya.
Rahitatva.
Nirmalam.
I broke this sandhi there, right? So, maya tatkarya. Rahitat Twan is Twat because of the Nirmala, the following Nakara. Okay? So Twat Nirmalaha. So what it says, so Nirmala means Shiddham is that which is pure or free from any impurity. Nirmala, free from impurity, Shiddham, pure. Right? So it says that Twat, when you see Twat, that Twat affix is an makes a noun into an abstract. Like the nests of something, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you have twat, that's in the fifth case, 5-1, and you translate that usually as because of being whatever it is, okay? So the twat would be because of being rahita, reading backwards, because of being rahita, free from. So rahita, this word often comes at the end of a compound and it means free from whatever. So because of being free from maya tatkarya, that's a type of dwandva compound. Being free from maya and that karya, that is its effects. Karya is effects. So it's shuddham because of being free from maya and its effects. Okay. So from the standpoint of the jiva, maya is ajnanam. So you'd say from the standpoint of the jiva, being free from ajnanam and all of its effects, which have to do with kama and krodha, the kartritvam, the doership, and then kama, and then for the thwarted desires, krodha, and then just the bouncing ball down into, nirmala, down into mala. That's the idea. So if you're free from maya and its effects, that's just non-dual Brahman. So Brahman, this non-dual Brahman, which is nirmala, which is shuddha. So that which is free of maya, that's why they say maya instead of ajnanam. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the jiva, they say ajnanam, ignorance. Okay. So everybody see that? Mm-hmm. So maya means the maya, sattva, rajas and tamas maya. And then this other thing, karya means effects. So they say, you can't just say maya and effects. You have to say maya and the effects of maya. So they use tat, maya and its effects. Right? And that twat because of being free from. So, maya tat karya rahita twat nirmalam shuddham. And so he's just giving a little tiffany on the meaning of nirmalam. Which in the main body of the text, it's already defined as shuddham. But then he wants to define shuddham. So nirmalam has shuddham as its synonym. And then he gets a little short definition of what would be shuddham from the standpoint of Brahman. Why would they say Brahman is shuddham? Because it's free of maya and all of its effects. Non-dual. Then the fourth. If on that same line you have punascha tad brahma katam bhutam nirmalam equals shuddham, that's three, and then aparam is four. Mm-hmm. Aparam, he has that. A little equal sign. Aparam means the synonym desha, kala, vastu, aparichinyam, chabhavati. It's aparam, so desha, space, kala, time, vastu, an object, aparichinyam, not limited by space, time, or objectification. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to actually do a lot on this apadam. So padam is that which has a limitation, a boundary. In fact, parichinna means that which is has a boundary, is boundaried. Mm. We say that which is limited, it comes to an end, right? It reaches an end. So if you see in the footnote number 4, paraha means antaha. So the paraha is the end of something. So that's the boundary, the limitation. It comes to an end. So here, so say paraha antaha.
Paraha antaha.
Then sacha,
sacha,
desha kala vastu,
desha kala vastu,
krita,
krita,
bhedat,
bhedat,
trividaha,
trividaha.
So here, that sacha and that, because we have paraha is defined as antaha, it's in the masculine, so saha cha, and that. In a sentence or in a clause, if you have the word cha, it will always come after the first member of the sentence or the first member of the clause. Once in a while, after the second member, if it's like an adjective before. So you'd never say cha sa. You're not going to start a sentence ever with cha. So that's sacha. Then you say and that, which is padaha, and that padaha, sacha. Desha kala vastu krita bedat trividaha. Okay, so you have this bedat ending in 5-1, the fifth case. And trividaha is the nominative. So it says, basically, that padaha, that which means antaha, that which is bordered or boundaried or comes to an end, that is trividaha, threefold. Mm-hmm. Tri is three, vidha, threefold. Mm-hmm. Trividaha, three types. Mm-hmm. We just say threefold. So trividaha. And why is it threefold? Desha kala vastu krita bhedat, fifth case. Because of the division which is brought about, krita, the division which is brought about, which is created by what? This dvandva compound, desha kala and vastu. So we can look at anta, something coming, having a limitation in terms of space or place. We can look at it as being limited in terms of time, or we can look at something being limited in terms of object. Okay, so we have to look at this pada, the limitation, in terms of all of these three things and show why Brahman is not limited by any one of those three. That's the idea. So he starts out saying, so we've looked at this limitation, padaha, which means antaha, which is threefold because of this threefold division of desha, kala, and vastu. Okay? Then it says, repeat after me, tad abhavat,
tad abhavat,
aparam,
aparam,
brahma,
brahma.
So it says, tad abhavat, there's a typo. It should be abhavat, long off. Mm-hmm. I have abhavat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it should be abhavat. I don't have my pen, but maybe you can just mark it for me. Mm-hmm. So, tad abhavat. So tad abhavat means abhavat, fifth case. So tad abhavat, because of the non-existence of those. Desha kalafas. There is no limitation in terms of desha, kala, and vastu. Mm-hmm. So because of the absence of those limitations, because of the absence of those limitations, Brahman is apadam, right? Because the unnegates. So now, but I always just said, Brahman doesn't have any of those limitations, so it's not padam, it's apadam. Mm-hmm. It's not anta, it's ananta. Mm-hmm. It has no end. So that's why we say apadam instead of padam. So now he has to talk about the limitations from each one of those three standpoints, desha, kala, and vastu, and then show why Brahman is not limited in that way. Okay, so that's what we're doing. So repeat. Tatra deshaha.
Tatra deshaha.
Pradeshaha.
Pradeshaha.
Yet.
Yes.
Sarvatra.
Sarvatra.
avyapitvena eka desha varti tasya
deshataha
asti yatha. Another typo. It's gata, not gata. Gata. It's in a soul. You can't imagine how many times I read these over.
But of course, the proofreader.
Yeah, we're the proofreader. Yata gata dehe.
Gata dehe.
Yeah, gata adehe.
Gata adehe.
Natu Brahmanaha.
Natu Brahmanaha.
Tatcha.
Tatcha.
Sarvatra.
Sarvatra.
Vyapya.
Vyapya.
Avatishtate.
Avatishtate.
Okay. So going back to the number one. Tatra there, in reference to that, regarding that, the Brahman being free of limitation, or that the antaha is through space, in reference to space, time, and object. He says there, deshaha, the word deshaha, means pradeshaha. Deshaha means place or location. Okay. So that pradesha is just a synonym. It also means just place or location. So a region or area, that is desha. So he says, yet that which sarvatra means everywhere. Avyapi. Vyapi means pervaded, pervading. Avyapi tvena, because of not pervading everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not pervading in all places, so therefore it's going to reach boundaries. So everywhere. Avyapi tvena, because of not pervading everywhere. Eka desha varti. It is existing in one place. Eka, one, desha, mm-hmm. place, varti. Mm-hmm. This something limited by desha means it exists in one place. Why does it only exist in one place? Because it's not pervading everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, the place is bordered, okay? And so, for tasya, for something which is like that, so that first yet, that which, okay? That which remaining, abiding in one place because of not pervading everywhere. Okay? Mm-hmm. For that, deshataha antaha asti. There is asti, an end from the standpoint of place. Deshataha. For that, tasya, for that, deshataha, from the standpoint of place, antaha asti, there is an end. Mm-hmm. A boundary. Mm-hmm. Anta means end. Really see that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the anta is buried in the...
Yes. Deshataha antaha asti. Okay. Then he says, yatha, just as gata adehe, just like a pot, etc. Mm-hmm. A pot comes to an end. It only takes up so much space. Gata adehe. Everyone see that?
Mm-hmm.
Just as for genitive. Like... like for space, there's a limitation. Right? I mean, for a pot, there's a limitation, and etc. Then he says, "Natu Brahmanaha," but not for Brahman. Not to, but Brahmanaha, but not for Brahman. Now, so repeat. Natu. Did you do that? Yeah. No, you did that. Natu Brahmanaha, but not for Brahman. Tatcha. Sarvatra vyapya avatishtate. It says vyapya avatishtate sarvatra, but says not, but not for Brahman, that remains avatishtate, having pervaded everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It says and tacha, and yeah, and that Brahman avatishtate remains vyapya, having pervaded sarvatra, everywhere.
Okay.
So Brahman, but not for Brahman. Why? Because it remains as is, being all pervasive by nature. So it has no limitation. There's nowhere where it stops.
Okay.
Even from the standpoint of the Maya Upadhi, from the standpoint of of just the Satchitananda Atma, there's no limitation because it's non-dual. There's no second thing, so where's there going to be something to limit it when there's only one thing there?
Mm.
Okay. That's a good contemplation. Mm. It's kind of mind blower. Think about it. So, now it says, it gets a little bit deeper reason. It says, we can make sarvasya.
Sarvasya.
Api.
Api.
Deshasya.
Deshasya.
Mayaya.
Mayaya.
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
Adyastatvena.
Adyastatvena.
Ted.
Ted.
Anavachedakatvat.
Anavachedakatvat.
Okay, so this means genitive sarvasya api deshasya. So also means we're going to give another reason why Brahman is not limited by space. And for space, for a place, for say a place, any place, say that place is sarvasya. The place is everywhere. We're talking about just the one place. One giant place. Sarvasya deshasya. Now the thing is, mayaya by maya, tasmin adyastatvena, because of being superimposed on Brahman, because of maya, by maya, because of it being superimposed on Brahman, tad anavachedakatvat, it means that, because of being, I should look up that anavachedakatvat. I'll just tell you what in my mind it means. It's because of not being delimited anywhere or cut or touched in any way by that, because it's superimposed by maya. Being superimposed by maya, it's mitya. It's mitya, it has no being of its own. So it would say there's Brahman, and then there's all places or one large space. All of the places that you can imagine are one infinite place. Whatever you imagine in terms of place, it is superimposed on Brahman as its adhishtana. Right? When you say superimposition, there has to be the Brahman is the adhishtana. The superimposition is due to maya. So whatever is superimposed by maya is mitya. Mitya has no being to limit Brahman. So you can't say there's a place and this place and this place, or the whole universe is one place, in no way limits Brahman, like the universe is one place, and then there is Brahman. That's a limitation. Or there are many places, and then there is Brahman. Well, Brahman is just one of the things that is there. So for Brahman, there's absolute non-duality, even accepting the existence of places. They in no way can limit Brahman. So otherwise, we're looking in the first example, it's from the standpoint of the creation, Brahman is not limited because it pervades everywhere. It's as the Adhishtana, it pervades everywhere. But now if you're looking at it from the standpoint of the creation itself also doesn't limit Brahman because it's maya. It's an effect of maya, and so therefore it's mitya. It has no substance for there to be two, the limiting creation and Brahman. See what I mean? So they're going from both sides. Okay, so now, kalaha.
Kalaha.
So we did desha now. Now we're on kala. As kala as a limitation. So this is interesting. What it says about, what is kala? Kala means time. Okay. So it says, kala is avidya chit samyogaha. The very concept of time involves these two things. The avidya, ignorance, which is going to be the maya upadhi, and consciousness. Because you see, from the standpoint of awareness, there is no time at all. But it's from the standpoint of the, say, just from the standpoint of the jiva now, from the standpoint of the jiva, there's kind of like what we did with vritti vyapti and pala vyapti. Every vritti that you have, you are conscious of, right? It enjoys consciousness. And the vritti changes. That's the maya upadhi. Change, change, change. But you are the consciousness that has what we call, you'll get to this later, I'm sure, pratyabhijna, in reference to your marking of time. So the pratyabhijna would be like this. I'm aware of this vritti, I'm present for this vritti, then I'm present for this vritti, then I'm present for this vritti, then I'm present for this vritti. Because I have a continuity in reference to all of the vrittis, I can mark change. If there's no pratyabhijna, where I'm not, where there is no stable being there, then there can't be any marking of change, because you are changing and your prior condition is no more. It's a really interesting thought. That's the thing with Maya. Maya is continually changing. And so there would be, only can be a marking of time if something isn't from the standpoint of something that is not changing. Because that, think of it. Here you are at this moment, that moment's gone, it's this moment, that moment's gone, it's this moment, that moment's gone, it's this moment. If that moment is completely gone, you are just this moment. And then you are just this moment. And then you are just this moment. There is no one to mark the time. So you need to have the chit, which is present within, as the chit abhasa, so to speak, that is the stable entity who is there amidst all the changing entities. And there's the possibility of marking time. Otherwise, who's going to mark it? Really, who will mark it? There's nobody there to mark it, because that moment is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. That person doesn't exist anymore. Swamiji calls it's a Buddhist, a type of Buddhism. It's called the Kshanika Vijnanavadins. And Swamiji used to call that blip-blip consciousness. Blip-blip-blip. So where's any continuity for there to be any recognition of of time and change? It's just a... Anyway, so that's the first thing. Kalaha, avidya, chit samyoga, the bringing together samyoga of avidya, maya, avidya, and chit, and consciousness, which is our situation. Consciousness is stable, right? And so even in the antakarana, because of the chit abhasa, in reference to the antakarana consciousness, your being is absolutely stable. And in fact, because you are there, present in every vritti, and you are the only thing that is not changing. There's nothing else, right? You're the only thing that's not changing. And so your buddhi can differentiate, in the terms of the totality of your experience, what is changeless and what is changing. Right? And there's only one thing that's not changing, and that is you. And then in contemplation, you can just kind of relax and let all of the vrittis come and go. All of the experiences, objectifiable experiences, come and go. And then you ask the Buddha, can ask, who's not coming and going? What's not coming and going? And there's only one thing, and that's you. So there's a beautiful viveka that can take place there in contemplation, or at any time. There's only one thing that's not changing. Okay, so here then it goes, that first one, kalaha, avidya, chit, samyogaha. Then it says, it quotes a verse, but it doesn't give the source. Kalaha, so repeat, kalaha, maya, atma, sambandaha.
Maya, atma, sambandaha.
Sarva, sadhana, atmakaha.
Sarva
sadharana atmakaha. So if I break it, sarva sadharana atmakaha.
Iti uktehi.
It's actually iti uktehi.
Iti uktehi.
Because that yakara, the yather. So here it says, kalaha, 1-1, nominative singular. Maya. Atma sambandha has the same. Is the kala, the time, is the sambandha, the connectedness between maya, or we said avidya before, and the self. Right? Here, in the previous, where he's just talking himself, it says avidya and chit. That's avidya and consciousness, the samyoga. Here he's saying the sambandha between maya, the creation, changing creation, and the self. That is time. Because time is automatically marked when there's something stable and something changing. If all there is change, then there's no marking of time. So stable consciousness is necessary. So, and then what he says is, sarva sadharana atmakaha. And that fact, right, that is something that is sadharana, the same everywhere. Sadharana means it is the same. Where? In all places, it is always the same at all times. Why? Because the stable function, which is the Atma, is all pervasive. It's the Adhishtana. So that marking of time is always going to be there equally, sadharana, in everywhere. There's no exception to it. Mm-hmm. As long as consciousness is there and Maya is there, there's going to be the marking of time, because something is stable and something is changing. He's just reiterating that from a verse, and he doesn't give us the source of it. Now he has a little bit more to say on time. Yes, yatu.
Yes, yatu.
Janmataha.
Janmataha.
Prak.
Prak.
Urdvam.
Urdvam.
Cha abhavaha.
Cha abhavaha.
Vishyate.
Vishyate.
Drishyate. Tasya.
Tasya.
Kalataha.
Kalataha.
Antaha.
Antaha.
Asti.
Asti.
Yatha.
Yatha.
Vidyut adehe.
Vidyut adehe.
Na brahmanaha.
Na brahmanaha.
Which is now, or for me, I'm on the next page in the footnote. Na brahmanaha. Then janmadi.
Janmadi.
Vikara. Vikara abhavat.
Vikara abhavat.
Well, it's vikara abhavat.
Vikara abhavat.
Tasya.
Tasya.
Kalasya.
Kalasya.
Api.
Api.
Ted adyastatvacha.
Ted adyastatvacha.
Okay. And this is where we're going to do this one and then stop. Okay, so here it says, yesya tu. Yesya for which, to whereas, mm-hmm. whereas for which, janmataha prak, before, prak means before, mm-hmm. before birth. Janmataha, that tessel ending, that taha ending has the sense of the fifth case, and prak governs the fifth case. So does urdvam. They're indeclinables. So janmataha prak, before birth, before the birth, and urdvam, after. Mm-hmm. So before the birth, and when we say urdvam, usually it means after the death. They don't put that here, but I'm assuming that's what they mean, before and after. Mm-hmm. So before the birth, after the, you could say before the, well, before the birth, it'll be after the death. We'll look at it and then I'll tell you, I'll explain to you. Before the birth and after, cha abhavaha drishyate. So before the birth and after, what they mean is after the death. Urdvam means after, okay? So before the birth and after, for that thing, for which, before birth and after the death, there is abhavaha, non-existence. Mm-hmm. Non-existence is seen, right? One sees non-existence. Mm-hmm. Before the birth and after the death of the given thing. Before the birth, it was not there. After it dies, it is not there. Mm-hmm. So any object within Maya is bordered by non-existence. This is why it's not real. Because nothing can come from non-existence. It needs an adhishtana. It needs something that exists. Because existence is not there for something to come out of it. Right? Or it goes into non-existence, but what is, how can something that is go into non-existence? Mm-hmm. That's the problem. So here it says, for something which is experienced to be, is seen, is recognized to, before it is born to not be there, and after it goes to not be there. It's bordered by abhava, non-existence. For that thing, tasya, for that, kalataha, from the standpoint of time, antaha is, an end is. Mm-hmm. So that there's the end of the non-existence of the thing. The non-existence comes to an end when it's born, and when it dies, there's an end to its existence. Mm-hmm. So he says, therefore, there is an end from the standpoint of time for something that is born and dies. Then he says, yata vidyut adehe, just like for lightning, etc. Mm-hmm. For something lightning, there's a time when it was not, comes into being, goes out of being, right? So it's going to be bordered, it's going to have a beginning and an end, and so then it's bordered by time. Then he said, na brahmanaha, not Brahman, but not Brahman. Why not for Brahman? We read this. Jinma adi vikara abhavat. Why not for Brahman? Because of the absence of bhava, because of the absence of modifications beginning with birth. Vikara is a modification. Mm-hmm. There can't be any time for Brahman because it doesn't go through any modifications. It's free from time, free from change. In other words, vikara means change or modification. Mm-hmm. So it says, because of being free of bhava, because of the non-existence of modifications such as birth, death, etc., Brahman is free from change, so there can't be any time for it. Tasya means kalasya api tad adyastat tvacha, and also for that, Brahman, for kala itself, and also for time itself, it being super, because of time itself being superimposed upon Brahman. Adyasta means superimposed. Mm-hmm. So if you say adyasta twat, it means because of being superimposed on Brahman for time. Time being superimposed on Brahman can't limit Brahman. Because being superimposed, it's maya, it's nitya. So from that standpoint also, it has no being to limit Brahman. You know, but then from the standpoint of Brahman itself, Brahman doesn't go through any modification. This doesn't have any type of vikara. It's not born, it doesn't die, it doesn't go through any of the modifications at all. And so therefore there's nothing to mark, there's no change.
So time belongs wholly to Nitya?
Maya, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's what they're saying. See, for time, you have to have change. Mm-hmm. If there's no change, there's no time, right? Mm-hmm. For Brahman, there's no change at all. So from the standpoint of Brahman himself, or itself, there's no change at all for there to be anybody marking it. It's totally irrelevant, even if you thought changeless Brahman there, but changeless Brahman, that is the conscious consciousness, can't mark any change of itself because it's not changing.
Because I think of it as eternal. I think Brahman eternal.
You have to say timeless instead of eternal. Okay, because eternal, it goes on being.
It's a long time. Yeah.
It goes on, just goes. Eternal has the sense of continuity, but that's what the word eternal belongs within Maya. Mm-hmm. So that's why Brahman we say is nitya, means timeless. When we use the word for Brahman, free from time, it's free from change. Mm-hmm. Then we can say, yeah, well, Brahman is free from change, but there's the kala, there's the time that is changing, and so that can limit Brahman. The fact that there is time somewhere. But he said, no, because it's maya, it's superimposed upon Brahman, so it has no being of its own to bring about any change to Brahman. So that's the Desha Kala, and then tomorrow we'll do the Vastu. Desha Kala Vastu Aparichinna. Yeah?
My question is,
when I finish, yeah. I'm finished. Huh. We'll do a prayer, and then we have that song in the next.
Om Swasti Prajabhya Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Ko Brahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyah Krithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yamcho Varahitaha brahmana santu nirbhayaha om sarve bhavantu sukhinah sarve santu niramayaha sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kaschit dukkhavad bhavet asato ma sagamaya namaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vashishyate om shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
So my question was just, can you just summarize those three things?
Videsha Kalavastu?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a statement, there's two ways of saying it. This used to just roll off of Swamiji's mouth almost every class. He's talking about the nature of Brahman versus the nature of Maya. We say Brahman is not limited by space. It's not limited by, that's desha. Mm-hmm. It's not limited by time, kala. And it's not limited by objects. Mm-hmm. Like the, as we'll see next class, like the chair is limited by the footstool, you know. It's, then this is limited by this. So one object is not the other. So we have, that's the vastu. So we say, desha kala vastu aparichinna. It's not limited by space. Space means place, time, or object. Or we say, Brahman is desha kala vastu parichinna shunyam, without, shunya means without, free from. And so now, what these footnotes are doing is looking at exactly what is the limiting factor of space, for instance, or place? What is the limiting factor, and how is it that Brahman is not limited by it? What's the limiting factor of time? And how is it that Brahman is not limited by time? And the limiting factor of an object, and how it is it that Brahman is not limited by that? So that's the discussion, because it seems very simple, really, but they go into detail about everything. Everything has to be explained, you know. Yeah.
Time is so relentless. Like, I can, you know, if you close your eyes, you don't see objects. You know, their mind can be an object or whatever, but
yeah.
But the thought that there's no time.
Timeless.
Timelessness is so hard to wrap my brain around.
Because you can't wrap it around within the creation. Because there's nothing in the creation that's free from time. It might be moving in a slower change at a slower pace than something else. That's kind of an infinite variety in the pace of change, right? And also there's the subjective element of your own boredom versus your own engagement, whether time is
waiting
fast or slow. But you can't imagine they're being, having freedom from time. Because it would be like the world would become a snapshot, and then there's nothing else. It's always dynamic. It's always moving. Like if I take a snapshot with a picture, there, that's it, right? But there's nothing like that. But then, the thing is, this is what we call that pratyabhijna. You are always there, almost like the motion picture, the film strip that's moving through, but you're the light that's always illumining it. So you're the stable, timeless light. So the film strip's moving, but the light's not moving. The whole universe is moving, but I'm not moving. Consciousness is not moving. And if there's no change, there's no time.
So time does exist, but only
in Maya. Well, it exists in the sense that it only exists because somebody can mark it. Because there's consciousness. Otherwise, inertness is going on changing, but there's no consciousness there to mark that change. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So you have to have consciousness, and the consciousness has to outlast the change.
Mm-hmm.
the consciousness doesn't outlast the change, then it's gone as the change goes. So there's no sense of time. But the consciousness is stable, because you always have, I mean, there's different ways to show how this is true, but you always have what's called a pratyabhijna, like I'm marking this and this and this. This event morphs into this, into this, into this. But the pratyabhijna is a type of memory, which first of all, I'm aware that there was this, 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 and this. But also, I was here for this, and the same me was here for this, and the same me was here for this. So I was the changeless factor, right, in all of these experiences, which is really important for gaining knowledge, because you can recognize nothing's happening to you as time is moving on. You are there present for all of it. That means you're outlasting time. Time is objectified. See, change is objectified. And you have to be there as the steady one who is present for this, for this, for this, for this, for this, you know, in order to even mark the time or to be able to say, I was the one who saw this, who saw this, who saw this. That coming back to the recognition of yourself in each one of those experiences is technically called pratyabhijna, which is a type of memory. It's a little different than this happened and then this happened and then this happened. That's how we usually think of memory. But this is, I was there for this, I was there for this, I was there for this, I was there for this. It's the one, we'll say like the one who was a little girl. I am that one. That was that little girl. And I was the one who was the teenager, and the, you know, like that.
And then when you leave this life onto some other, when you still have that subtle body that helps you say, I'm still that one.
Yeah.
But then eventually what? I mean, eventually...
With moksha? I mean, because that transmigration and travel goes on forever. The sukshma sharira doesn't get old. It's subtle. It doesn't go through birth and death and decay like the physical world, the subtle world. So your sukshma sharira doesn't grow old.
But does it eventually dissolve?
It dissolves with moksha. When the prarabdha karma, the karmas that caused you to take this birth, are finished. When those karmas are finished, exhausted, then this body drops and there's no one there to take another birth. The sukshma, this physical body goes back to its elements, the subtle body goes back to its subtle elements, and you just abide as Brahman Ishwara. Because there's no, even while you're a lot living, the ahankara is only nitya.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and yourself is the one that you are, which is Brahman. And as the mind is mature, in the sense that the knowledge is mature, so these raga dveshas, like, oh, my next life, you know, I really do want to be able to do this and that. You know, there's no such vritti. You know, you're not saying... one more life so I could have this experience. That's gone.
So then the little car just...
It's just part of... That's all nitya.
The whole. So then there is no more individual limited...
No.
Antakarana.
No, there isn't. Your antakarana is Brahman, is Ishwara.
Mm-hmm.
You are Ishwara. You are Ishwara because you're Brahman. If you're Brahman, you're Ishwara. If as Ishwara you're identified with a little jiva in there, which is beginningless, then you're experiencing who you are from the eyes of the jiva, which means that you're going to be ignorant. You have to be ignorant because the mind is so limited. You know, you're not the whole. So you take yourself to be this limited being where actually you are Brahman, and the body-mind-sense organs is part and parcel of Ishwara. So you actually are Ishwara. If you're Brahman, you're Ishwara.
But eventually, with moksha, there won't be anything left to perceive itself as in any way separately identifiable.
No. You have whatever the experience of Ishwara is your experience.
Mm-hmm.
The experience of the jiva will be there. But you will be there. You see, this can seem strange maybe to you, but actually that's why I like this particular example so much. It's like... Hi! Anyway, it's when you dream, when you have a dream, when you have a dream, once, sometimes in the dream, you're identified with a character in the dream, right? And then you're experiencing the dream through the eyes of the character. Sometimes you're not identified with a character, and then you're just Ishwar, you're just the whole.
Mm-hmm.
But you never think, I mean, you just take that shift for granted because nothing's really happening. And nothing's happening. So you don't think, oh, I'm losing my body, I'm losing my body, you know? Because the only thing that's really there is the Atma, is the self. And nothing's happening to it. So whether you're experiencing the dream through the eyes of the dream character, or you're experiencing the dream from the standpoint of the total Maya Upadhi, the thing that's really the only thing there is the self. That's why when you wake up from a dream, nothing happens. You think something should happen. Yeah. Anyway, do you understand that about this? So you think, oh, I'm going to be unembodied.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there. But you don't feel that way in a dream when you're not...
Usually in my dreams, I'm an embodied, I'm a character in the dream.
Yeah, sometimes
you're not. As opposed to like there's a night out when I'm watching it or something.
Yeah. But I'm sure that I think in the dream that I think everybody goes in and out of having form, being in a form in the dream. You can even do it if you can do it in imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Like say you have an imagination and you're imagining yourself walking through the imagination, you know, and then you take yourself out of the imagination. It doesn't make any difference at all because you are not, your self experience doesn't have to do with having a body or a mind. The body and mind is not contributing to your self-experience, and that's why if it goes, nothing's happened to you. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like my mind wants to hold on to its existence.
It does, because it feels that that's normal. It feels that I'm going to die. You know, that I will die, like with this knowledge, I'll end up being some self other than me. Because the Dehatma Buddhi is so much. Yeah. Yeah.